Okay. We are here to do a Havruta reading of The Story of an Hour. This is Ms. Flanagan.
And Ms. Lipsy.
A Havruta is a way of structuring conversation about a text. Usually it's about a sacred text like the Bible or the Talmud, the Torah, the Quran, where two people come together or a few people come together with questions about what they read, but also answers to those questions to drive the discussion. So I'm going to start with my question and my answer, and then Ms. Lipsy is going to give her answer to my question, which she hasn't heard before, and then we'll go the other way, and then we could feasibly keep going around forever and ever. So in The Story of an Hour, one line that really struck me was the line Mrs. Mallard is talking about Brantley, her husband, who she believes is dead. The narrator says, the face that had never looked save with love upon her. Describing Mr. Mallard. And it seems like, so in the story, she very quickly goes from like being very upset that her husband is dead, but then she famously becomes very elated and happy and no one can understand why. But Mr. Mallard doesn't seem to have been a really terrible person. He looked with love upon her always. So my question is, why is she so elated that he is gone or that he is dead? And my answer is sort of twofold. This phrase kind of makes her look like a real jerk, given like the following scenes. Like she's happy and saying, I'm free, I'm free. But I'm wondering if maybe she just had some issues with her own self and felt like the way that Mr. Mallard loved her was stifling or oppressive. Some people read this and they're like, he must have been abusive, but I don't know, that line doesn't really give me that vibe. If someone loves you, even if you love them, the way in which they love you can be frustrating. Like, have you heard of the five love languages?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? Like there's gift giving. What are they? Gift giving, words of affirmation, physical touch, and two other ones. But maybe Brantley's love language was somehow stifling to her. Now, I don't know that that means that she should wish he was dead. But she can't help this feeling she feels where she doesn't have to put up with the way he loves her anymore, and she's free from that. And that is why she is happy in this moment. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, when I heard that line, mm-hmm. I just immediately went to the role of women in the 20th century and right. how they were given very little choices in certain matters and how they were expected to just get married and have children.
Right.
And be the little wifey. And you don't work outside the home. You don't pursue any of your own goals or dreams.
Right.
So I got the feeling that when I heard you mention that line, that he probably did love her.
Mm-hmm.
But he may not have known her love language.
Right. And maybe he loved her because she was fitting that role that you were talking about. Like she fit that like domestic wifey mom. I don't know if they had kids. It's not mentioned.
No, it's not.
But she's meeting that domestic role. And ooh, maybe she doesn't like that. That's the reason why he loves her. So he is looking on her with love, but it's for reasons that she doesn't want to be loved.
Well, it does indicate that she's young, right?
Right. Yes. So
maybe she hasn't had any time to think about what she really wanted
right.
in a relationship.
Yeah.
She hasn't had time to experience anything real as far as her expectations go in mm-hmm. a relationship. You know, we tend to view women as the givers.
Right.
And men as the receivers.
Of course, right.
So maybe she was giving him what he needed, therefore he looked on her with love,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't giving back to her exactly what she needed.
According to her. Yeah, right. According to society, he was, but according to what she needed, she couldn't be her own autonomous being.
So maybe her individuality was stifled.
I think so. Yeah, thanks. I thought that was interesting. What question do you have and answer do you have?
Well, my question is, as I read through the short story, it talks about heart trouble.
Yeah.
So are we supposed to take that as a metaphor? Or are we supposed to take that as something that she really physically endured, that she really did have a heart condition? Or is it more of a metaphorical heart condition? Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the story, it implies that she dies, mm-hmm. or does it? Is it a metaphorical death mm-hmm. of her spirit? Mm-hmm. Or is it a physical death of her body? Mm-hmm. So I think that the reader is left to decide that, actually. The joy that kills. Mm-hmm. So I guess what was killed could be seen as both a metaphor and a physical. That maybe her spirit died when he came back, because she started, you know, supposing all these wonderful things that she was going to do if she could have autonomy and make decisions about her own life. And then all of a sudden he walks back in, and then that dies.
Yeah.
So the minute it starts to live, it's killed again.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting. And I think that there is a line where, so like when she first finds out he dies, it says that she sinks into a chair and she was pressed down by a physical exhaustion that haunted her body and seemed to reach into her soul. So you said spirit. I'm kind of like, those are similar things. So upon finding out that he's dead, there's this exhaustion that she feels that reaches into her soul. But then later it says that she kept whispering, free, body and soul free. And I think it's interesting that you latched on to like, is this spiritual or physical? And I do think it's both because of that line that she says body and soul are free. And because they're free at the end of it, when he comes back in, like you said, it immediately kills them. So they are set free by finding out that he is gone. And I don't necessarily think he had to die. Like, what if, like, even if he had just left her, like, you know, up and left her, like, divorced her,
but
or something like that.
But that's more of a social shame.
That's true.
Especially in that time frame when the story was written.
Right.
And wasn't divorce more like of an unheard of kind of
thing? Yeah, you did not get divorced. Or if you did, your social status would have plummeted, especially as a woman. I feel like men could have recovered a little bit more from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is metaphorical, spiritual, and physical. Because by the last line, we get the doctors say that she died of heart disease. And of the joy that kills.
So see how it's sort of a twofold thing there?
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of think that Chopin... Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's French-ish.
Yeah. I think that she wanted us to come to our own conclusions by the end of the story, mm-hmm. whether it was a physical death or a metaphorical death.
Yeah. And if I'm an audience member of Chopin's at the time of the writing, I am shocked by the end of it that a woman could die so suddenly. But it is mentioned in the first lines, she was afflicted with a heart trouble. Was that heart trouble physical, or was it like psychosomatic, right? Was it like her being in this marriage that she wasn't happy with, but everyone else was like, oh, that's, you are having a physical ailment. Whereas at the time of the writing, there was no awareness of mental illness or traumatic instances.
Right.
Yeah. So I think you're right. It is both. Cool. That was one round of a Havruta. You can come up with more questions. I came up with one more like bonus question. We don't have to. I'll put it in my example. But that's how that would go. And that's what we would expect for a Havruta assignment.
Okay. That was a really interesting conversation.